This morning's reading is from 1 John chapter 2, Epistle of John chapter 2, reading from verse 24 to 3:3. First John chapter 2, verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. May the Holy Spirit lead us in truth. We'll just pray now before Andrew comes up and speaks to us.
Okay? I'm coming through okay. Yeah, it's a real privilege for Mary and myself to be with you this morning, and thank you for putting up with us again. It's always a joy to meet with people from all sorts of different parts of the globe, and as we travel around for one thing or another, you know, it's lovely to be able to share fellowship and to learn of one another and to experience the things that God has prepared, not only for us now, but for our eternal future as well, things we're going to enjoy together in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I think we live in an age, don't we, where we're looking for things that are truthful and honest. I think politically we somewhat probably all get a wee bit disillusioned by what we see around us. And whether it's north of the border or south of the border, it makes no difference. God desires truth in the inward parts, doesn't he? The psalmist said in Psalm 51, he's looking for that which is consistent with the one who is the truth, the one who is the life, the one who is the only way to enjoy what God has for each one of us. And I love this passage, or these little epistles of John, because he was writing to those who are members of the family of God. He was writing to those who love the Lord. He was writing to those who knew what it was to have a Father in heaven who cared about them individually. And he wanted to reinforce this and to encourage them as he wants to encourage us. And he was writing to these new, fairly new Christians. He was in his old age, and he was what we would call a father, I suppose. And he wrote to the fathers, and he wrote to the younger men, and he wrote to the babes in Christ. So everybody was covered, and everybody here, as we read this word, is covered by what he said. He'd actually been there with the Lord. And there's nothing like first-hand experience in our lives. He said, I've actually been with him, I've touched him, I've handled him, I've heard him speaking. And I know that what he says is absolute truth. I know that what he said is something that if I've been blessed by it, so can you be also. And so it's wonderful to be able to read that, read these words from him as he wrote to this. And at the beginning of our reading, I've come in a little bit early because he was still writing to the babes in Christ. And never let us get it wrong. The devil would very quickly persuade us that actually, oh, well, you've moved on from that. You don't really need this. Or maybe you're not good enough to be young men or fathers. And let me say right again, as young women or mothers and families as well. He's writing to everybody. But, you know, every single one of us here is as much a babe in Christ as those who are a little bit older, who perhaps have come to know the truth and are stronger in their faith, and those who know the Father in a more mature way. And yet we're all still learning every day. There's so much in the vastness of God's love, which is for each one of us to learn each day. And as for you, he says, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, from the moment that Jesus came. That's what he's talking. It's not the beginning of as in Genesis. It's the beginning that the Lord actually came into this world. As for you, hang on to what you've got and what you've learned and learn to mature in it. If what you heard from the beginning stays with you and abides in you, you will also stay and abide in the Father and in the Son. These things will become ever more precious to you. The truth of who God is, the truth of everything that the Lord Jesus came to tell when he came to make known the Father's love to mankind, the truth of all this will change your life, and it will make you into what, gradually, more and more into what he wants you to be. And the wonderful truth is he's coming again, and he's coming again, we believe, very soon. And he is preparing us. He who has begun a good work with you, in you, is going to continue that work. You're going to continue to become more Christ-like. He wants you to continue to display the wonders of his love and what he has done. And for that reason, John tells us that he's given us this special anointing. Now, I go to different churches, and I get all sorts of different opinions given to me. And different systems will, church systems will tell me either I shouldn't be up here speaking at the front because I don't have that special anointing which makes me into someone a little bit more important. I'm glad that in the sight of God, every one of us is the same. I'm glad that Scripture calls us all saints. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus, when he came around his own and he brought them together, he brought them from different backgrounds and different circumstances, and he made them into one unified body, those who loved God, those who were seeking the truth in the innermost parts. And I'm glad that he said that when he was going back to heaven, he was going to send us another, a comforter, one who would live within us. In other words, he, the person of Christ, would never leave us. He might leave us in body, but actually his spirit lives within the hearts of each and every one as a guarantee of the fact that he loves us, he cares for us, he's going to supply our needs, he's making us more like himself, and he's coming again to take us to be with himself. And it's a wonderful thing that the truth we're told here, let that abide in you. That truth which he told is that which will stay with us because the Holy Spirit is with us. And when the Lord spoke to, prayed to his Father at the end, he referred back a little bit to what he told the disciples before, that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he won't speak of himself. He's not speaking to glorify himself in any sense. He's going to take the things that he's heard in heaven, and he's going to make them real to our hearts, so that every day we live our lives, he's making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing us more and more for that glorious day, soon to dawn, when he takes us to be with himself. The truth will remain with each one of us. The anointing, this Holy Spirit, the one whom God has sent, will remain in the hearts of each one, and he will keep us in vital communion with heaven itself. The Lord Jesus said that he loves to take his place here in the midst of all who own his name. Two or three. Well, we're, 30 to 40, maybe 50 this morning. But it's wonderful that the Lord Jesus is the same Lord to each one who knows and loves him. And we recognize, don't we, the activities of what God is doing in our lives. Grant and I have said, we were just chatting before, And it's lovely. Grant was saying it's nice to take a back seat today and to listen. And certainly I would echo that. Sometimes it's just nice to be at home. It's lovely to be with you today, don't get me wrong. But it's lovely sometimes when you're at home and think, oh, this is strange. This is actually the church to which I belong. And I don't often get here because we're out. But, you know, we all need to encourage one another. We all need to learn from one another. We all need to seek those things of Christ that we see in others and emulate those in our lives. I don't know, some of you, I know my friends Ewan and Sharon here, they've come from Musselboro, and Ewan works with us at FOP. They'll understand because they come from the same background as me, and there's probably a few more who do come from the same brethren background here that we had. But every weekend, the preacher used to come and stay with us, with my mum and dad at home. And I was only young. I thought, oh, not another preacher. Oh, I know what Saturday night meal's going to be like when they're talking all this highbrow stuff that I don't know what they're talking about. Is that right? Yeah. But, you know, when I look back on it now, 70, nearly 80 years ahead, I realized what I learned in those days and didn't really think I was taking in. But things that are precious now as time has gone on. And we learn from one another. And let us value those things we can encourage each other in. Because, you know, I believe so often God speaks to us in these ways, under these circumstances, even though we might not really remember or recognize them at the time. And we begin to be recognized of one another and by the world outside as people who are either a bit weird, because we're those people who religious. And that was what they said of the Lord himself. The world, and the Lord said it, the world didn't recognize him. And they don't recognize us. And the Lord said this because they didn't recognize him in this world. And if we're taken up with our Savior, with our precious Savior, if we're taken up those things that really matter in our lives, we become more and more Christ-like. And the world regards us as more and more weird as it regards him. Does that matter? Not one bit. Because weird or not, we're going to glory if we know him. And we're going to be together in his presence forever. Now, as humans recognize each other from their parents, does the world recognize us from our spiritual parents? I spent a lot of time in my life doing obstetrics, and it always amazed me how a little baby just born will cling to its mum as though it's known its mum, his mum, her mum, for years and years and years. Well, it's only 9 months actually, it's really known. But you know, immediate recognition of our human parents. Do we reflect that same likeness with our spiritual parents, our God and Father? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. People who habitually practice righteousness in their lives, are we recognized as that by those who are around us? They may think it strange, but you know, God is speaking into the hearts of people who recognize there's a difference about you and me because we know the Lord and because we belong to him. people, it says in verse 27 here, who habitually practice righteousness are born of God. We're born not of the flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. We have new birth, and when the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, that was exactly what he said. He said, you must be born again. It's a much hackneyed phrase. What does it really mean? We must become more and more like the one who begot us. In eternity past, yes, he chose us. But now, we're his children. What wonderful, amazing, extraordinary love Martin Luther described it as: sublime and glorious love. Behold, what manner of love. John, having said what he's just said before, stands back and he looks at it. He says, what a God and Father we have. What a one we serve. You can imagine in his old age, and he'd walked with the Lord, he'd served with the Lord, but he said, I can't get over what I'm learning of him. What manner of love. The Father. He'd come to know him as Father too. And the Lord Jesus has said it to Mary Magdalene. When he came out, he introduced us into a completely new relationship with God. Not just God as God, but God as Father. The one who intimately cares for us. Behold, don't touch me, he said. I've not yet ascended to my God, to your God, to my Father, and to your Father. And he gives us that relationship with his God and Father. We are the same position as him. What manner of love is that? What type of love? From what country, you might say, is another translation, does this love come? It comes from heaven, because the world knows nothing of it. Because the world didn't know him, and the world still doesn't know him. But he, our Father, is the giver of all good. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. With him, there is no shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the giver of every blessing that you have. And it's all of grace. None of it deserved. He does it because I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you because I've loved you. So he's our Father. We are his children. And John says it again. He says we should be called children of God. And so we are. Not as the world would have it. We are children of our Heavenly Father. Not merely adopted into his family. And Paul spoke a lot about that in the Roman epistle. And that's right and proper. But we're also born again into this new relationship with our Father. All this is working towards a day when he's going to take us perfect and ready for heaven. Do you feel ready for heaven today? If the Lord should call today, and we don't know what lies ahead, but if the Lord called today, would we be ready? He told the parable about the oil that was burning in the lamps of some and not in others. Well, is our lamp burning brightly in the world today? That's the challenge to me. Beloved, now are we God's children? Not what we shall be. There's a hymn that we used to laugh at amongst brethren circles. And Sharon's smiling and I'll get an awful tiz when I try and say it, but we often laugh about it because people say, do you sing that hymn that says, then we shall be what we shall be and we will be what we would be. Things not are, not now, nor could be, thank you, and what could be, should be, soon will be our own. All the things that we didn't deserve, all the things that were not ours naturally, going to be ours for all eternity. And it's all praise and glory to the one who died for us. Now are we the children of God? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Like him in every grace. Like him in every perfection. Like him in every glorious aspect of his person as the eternal Son of the Father. Not only physically like him, bodies like his, but, you know, the scripture tells us we'll be morally like him too. And if you read in this scripture, just as he is righteous, it says in verse 29, so we shall be righteous. Just as he is pure, in verse 3 of chapter 3, we shall be pure. Just as in him there is no sin, it says in verse 5 of chapter 3, in us there'll be nothing that will mar that wonderful place or that wonderful relationship, because he is making us to be like himself. No more accusations from Satan, the great accuser of the brethren, who says you're not fit for this. You get that every day in your life? That little nagging thing says, those things you did. Nah, God doesn't forget those. Well, he does. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more forever. Removed at the cross. Taken away for good. We'll be morally like him. In him was no sin. People say, well, he was tempted. In him was no sin, the Bible says. Satan did his best to tempt him, but in him, sin could not enter into him, the perfect Son of God, because he was God, pure, holy, righteous. Sin had no place. And the wonderful thing is, brothers and sisters, sin will have no place in your heart and mine when we're in glory forever. We will not be able to sin because we'll be like him. We shall not be able to say all those bad things because we'll be like him. We shall not sin because we'll be like him in every perfection of who he is, the Son of God, Son of the Father, and we his children. What a challenge. I'll just leave it at this. What a challenge to our hearts, you know. And it says in verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him, and if we know and love the Lord Jesus, we have this hope in him. That hope sometimes might dim a little bit. That hope sometimes, under the power of Satan, who, take my word for it, is as powerful as he ever was, but greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. But Satan is ever so powerful, and don't let us think that on our own we can conquer him, because we can't. We need the presence of Christ in our lives. But what a challenge. And the measure to which I'm constantly endeavouring, as it says here, to purify myself in his strength. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Is actually only the measure in which I'm ready for the return of the Saviour. Do you get that? The measure in which I'm constantly endeavouring to purify myself, according to verse 3, endeavouring to follow him in everything and allow the freedom of the Spirit to make me into what he wants to me. But the measure in which that happens is reflected in the measure with which I'm ready for his return. And if he returns today, am I ready? If he returns this afternoon, am I ready? It may be next year, it may be, I don't know, I'm getting to the age now where I've not got that many years left. But will I be ready? You see, every one of us is going to give account of ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Not for judgment, because he's taken that away. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that I have nothing to fear. 2 Corinthians 5 and in Romans 8, we read about what's called the judgment seat of Christ. The bema seat is the Greek word. And we have to give account of ourselves. But wonderful thing. No, nothing can be put against me or against you if you trust in Christ today, because the Lord Jesus took it all. But nevertheless, John refers, says he doesn't want us, any one of us, to be ashamed, is the word he uses, when we get there. Things I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't do that. I missed that opportunity. I did wrong. He's not looking for things that are wrong. He's looking to hand out rewards for those things that were done for him. Just as I rather thought about it last week, because I had a good laugh, because Arsenal lost the Champions League. And I As you know, I'm a Mancunian, and so I support United, the only team in the world. But Arsenal fans, when I was speaking last week, were looking rather sad and miserable. But, you know, they didn't need to. They got losers' medals. There was a medal there for them. It might not have been the very top medal for which they were going, but nevertheless, for the rest of their lives, they would remember that they'd been there on that occasion, that they'd served their club nobly. Yeah, they got a loser's medal, but they got a medal. And you and I, when we appear before the Lord, he's not going to hold it against us that we lost against Paris Saint-Germain or any such thing. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and he's going to hand out rewards. And it may not be as big a reward as the person that did win the Champions League, but that's not going to be reflected, because our delight will not be in the reward that we get. It'll be in the delight in the one who gives it. That's our precious, gracious Saviour, the one who is altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000 to our souls. So let's encourage one another in this and seek to honour him as we endeavour to purify. So why do we do Fountain of Peace? Because the Lord has done so much for us. And whoever we are, however long we've been with FOP, and if I say FOP, it's easier. I won't say Fountain of Peace every time, so forgive me. But Ewan just joined us, what, 2 or 3 years ago? We were saying, how long is it? And Ewan and Sharon have been out already to Uganda twice? Yeah, we're really privileged, all of us, to serve together in this and to see God at work. And it's amazing to see God at work. And for those that don't know what Fountain of Peace is, in one sentence, we seek to rescue orphaned and abandoned babies in Western Uganda and give them a home and a Christian home, a Christian upbringing, Christian education, Christian parenthood. And that's for life, that they have a home, because many of our children, we now have 98, many of our children lost their mums in childbirth, and the problems in those poor parts of Uganda are, like so many parts of the world, too awful to think about, really. But we seek to serve the Lord. He has his hand on everyone. And we're just delighted to be co-workers with him in this. So that's what we do. Peace. We're peace. This is peace. Fountain of Peace is peace. It's about it. It was her dream. She was one of 14 children and was abandoned and not wanted, and there was no room for her. But God had a place for her, as he had a place and has a place for our children. These are our two latest, number 97 and 98, and I can remember what they're called. I can't remember what every child is, but recently two people did a long walk for us, a kilometre for every child, and when I rang him up and said, sorry, you've got another 2Ks on your walk, and it was over that really hot weekend a couple of weekends ago, and they prayed for one child every kilometre, and they had to remember Michael and Jackson. You see, I can remember them because of their names. And Peace told me this week that it was just a fluke. Michael and Jackson. They have African names too, obviously. But Michael and Jackson are what these two. And they have tragic stories. Our kids have terrible stories. And so many mums are dead. And elderly relatives can just not take them in. And we don't try and get your head round why do they then abandon babies. We can't get our head round poverty. Poverty twists the mind, it distorts the thinking, it does awful things. But babies get dropped down deep drop toilets, 50 foot down, some of our babies. They get left in fields, we've taken them out of morgues, we've taken them out of all sorts of circumstances. But the wonderful thing is that we believe that God had his eye on everyone from the word go. So Michael and Jackson are our two latest, And we can tell you about their tragic stories afterwards if you want. I'll not go into the details. They're very sordid, some of these details. But we love them. They're great kids. They're still babies that strike at night, but you know, they're lovely. These are to our oldest, Sylvie, on the left. And those of you who do get our newsletter, and if you don't get our newsletter, have a word with us. We'd love to put you on the list. We promise not to send more than 3 a year. That's right, isn't it, Mary? Yes, 3 a year. We don't deluge you with this stuff, but we'd love to share with you what God is doing. And so you'll know that Sylvie on the left is now 13, and she's just gone recently to secondary school. We haven't got a secondary school as yet. We're working on it. We have an infant section, primary section. Sorry?
Nursery and primary.
Thank you. I told Ewan, said, Mary's my great prompt. She tells me everything. So nursery and primary, whatever you call primary here. But she's just gone to secondary school. And in Africa, in East Africa, it's the tradition they all board, nearly all of them board anyway. And so Sylvie has gone to boarding school and she's loving it. And she loves the Lord. And that's great. She's taken her faith with her. Nathaniel here, he's not yet quite secondary school age, but he also has gone to boarding school in Kampala. Sylvie's gone to one in a place called Fort Portal, which is about 50 k's away. But Kampala, Nathaniel's been noted to be a really, really super bright kid. Going to be a bit geeky, I think, probably, because he's so super bright. But they wanted a school that would encourage him. And be able to encourage him in the things he has particular interest in. So he goes to Kampala and he's just settled in. So please pray for these two. They're being taken away from their families. And in FOP, they come into a baby's home, first of all. In the age of about two or three, they're being put together into little families of eight, blocks of eight. And then each block of eight will have a surrogate mum and a home into which they go within our area, within our village, Fountain of Peace Village. So they're taken away during term time for the first time, which is a good thing because we don't like institutionalization anyway, although inevitably you might say, well, they are being institutionalized. And in a way, yes, I suppose they are. But pray for these two, particularly Sylvie and Nathan, and the lovely smiles. These children should be dead. Every one of our 98 children should be dead by rights because they had no hope and they were abandoned and they were orphaned. Not a single one has any right to life, but God has blessed them and he's blessed us through giving us these kids. That's our village. It's a bit out of date, but each one of those houses will have eight kids with a surrogate mum and a nanny who comes. The mum lives with them. She is their mum for good. And they're at the age now, in particular, where kids are saying, why am I different? Why is our mum different to those in the village? The village is down here. There's a village of about 2,000 people, Miranga is called, and they come to our school. Why do they have their homes and we're different? They're difficult questions, but these kids are learning to ask questions like that. And you need the wisdom of Solomon to answer those questions. And we have a chaplain who's really good at taking these children aside and explaining to them. But up on the left, you'll see there's a bit of building site. So there's two new homes just being completed there. This was taken about 18 months ago. And we're building a third one up top left there, which I was saying to Grant, you know, only last week, how do we know that's the right thing to do? It's easy when you know the Lord, because if money comes, you know it's the Lord's will. If money doesn't come, you have to question, is that right? Whether you're buying a church hall, if money comes, yeah, step out in faith. And it is a step of faith, but God will provide all that is necessary, the resources. So that one up top left will be known as Bethany. I did that because I bought the bit of land, you see, and so I'm a landowner. Proud landowner in Africa. It costs peanuts compared to land here. But I said, I would like the house to be known as Bethany. And why?
Because Bethany was a place where the Lord loved to go to rest. There was a home there where people loved him, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he loved that place. And I'd love the Lord to feel it was a place he can come and rest when he's walking through Uganda. That's just me.
Been a bit sentimental. That's our village. This is our chaplain, Sylvain, our previous chaplain. He got married and rang me up and said, Andrew, something's happened. And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, has he got married? I said, well, what's happened, Lawrence? Don't tell me something. He said, my wife's pregnant. No! No, well, these things happen. And he said, really? I know, but, you know, bless him. And she was working far away. And I said, you need to be with her. You cannot have a new marriage and not have husband and wife together. And so he had to go, although he still comes back. But Sylvain took over, and Sylvain's lovely, and he has 4 children, thanks. Please pray for him, because one of them, I'm not sure which, only last week had a really bad fall and has sustained a severe head injury. And so he's away in Kampala at present, has been for a couple of weeks. So pray for Sylvain and his wife. But they're delightful. They're lovely. I think we said last time when we came, we were just building accommodation unit for the nannies because they were having to walk 6-7 km in pouring rain sometimes in the rainy season to get back to where they lived and then come back in the morning. And they were always doing so. It was a real high priority. We'd provide somewhere for them to live. And so the UK, largely, we do have an FOP in New Zealand, they're smaller than us, but largely it's the UK have funded this, and 10 units for nannies' accommodation. They're nice, I could live in one of those, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind fancy having to cook myself, but never mind. We thank the Lord for providing the resources. But then they said, well, we need something for senior members of staff and our senior manager and those with families like Sylvain and so on. So we're just at this stage. This came, I think, last week, didn't it? Of four units, 2-bedroom units for our senior staff. So, again, the Lord is so faithful. He's always faithful. We're never short of money, but we never, never have a penny too much. And he just provides our needs. So that's our senior accommodation. Our school we provided that years ago, the one on the right-hand side. I think I told you last week. Then a school in Bolton helped sponsor the one in the middle, Harper Green School in Bolton. And then the Americans came in, and Americans do things differently. And a big church in Texas, one of these mega churches, about 50 million members in the church, and they do tours every so often around the world. And like Clint Eastwood, fistful of dollars, you know, they come in. But they love the Lord, and they just want to serve him, and they're so generous in their giving. And that's the American building. That's a Christian school, we use something called Accelerated Christian Education, ACE. I won't go into that now, but look it up on the internet. There's lots about it. And it has produced, for those forms that are using it, which is up to not the top two, because they were too far on to introduce them to a new system education. But the others, it's produced great results in their exams and every... The whole educational system, it's the same syllabus as everybody else, but it's centred on a scriptural foundation. That's the word I was looking for. So look up ACE. But Harper Green School, pardon me in the middle there, in Bolton, I was there about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they're doing a big British council partnership scheme, and they're a diocesan school. It's a very deprived area of Bolton, And a lot of Muslim kids, but they're partnering with us because they need an international partnership. So we're doing something. I've suddenly become a geographer, and I hate geography. But we're doing a project, a common project, on the effects of plastic pollution and how to deal with it, which are very big bottles thrown everywhere in Bolton, just the same as in Uganda, only worse there. How are we going to deal with this problem? It's really good, really good. I commend to you a bit of research on plastic pollution, even if you hate geography and you're not an environmentalist. But I've learned a lot. And so, again, it's opportunities to share our Christian faith, because this is a Christian school that we have. The one in Bolton is nominally, it's a diocesan school. It's part of the Leverhulme Trust. But they've got a lot to learn about Christian things. And the first head teacher we had to deal with was very sympathetic. The second one came, didn't want anything to do with us because we were Christians. But things have softened a little bit. So pray about that, please. And the kids are dead keen to learn. Mother's matter in childbirth. My time's almost gone. I mentioned so many mums die in childbirth, and I mentioned this project last time. And it is a project which works in partnership with FOP. We work in the furthest most villages, which are the poorest. And they're the poorest, and therefore they cannot get to health facilities. And lots of mums die. And the babies are just left because there's nothing to do with them. Nobody can handle them. And that's where our babies, some of them, a lot of them from those poor areas, came into FOP. With MMC, Mothers Matter in Childbirth, we go out to them. And we take maternity care, which was my interest, into the community. So again, I'll talk to you about that afterwards if you want, or with Ewan or with Mary, and how we do it. It's very easy. It's just getting back to basic principles. You know, women were made to bear children. It's a natural gift of God. It's not some great scientific experiment. And by applying first principles, we've seen over 1,300 mums go through the system in nearly 3 years. It'll be in a couple of months. Over 1,300. And by simply doing things simply, we would have expected between 80 and 100 of those mums to be dead for avoidable reasons, the majority of them. And if they died, most likely the baby would die with them. And if the baby didn't die with them, the baby would be abandoned, most likely. Well, we've had over 1,300, and out of those, not one single solitary death of either child or mother. And that's God's grace. Nothing to do with us. We just happen to be there. But it's working wonderfully. And it's such a testimony. People, so many are saying, why do you go out into these villages, these really poor places, and they are desperately poor? Well, because the Lord's asked us to. This Arthur, he's very studious. He's not really studious like this, but Arthur is known as the Reverend, to distinguish him from the chaplain that we have. And the Reverend is a Reverend, and the church, which you remember, and that'll be the last slide. He is also, we've made him as a sort of project manager over in Uganda for MMC. Because he loves the Lord, and because he's going and he's sharing the gospel with them in these villages far off, and people are really curious to know why we should do it. Well, he's there to tell them and to preach the gospel to them. So pray for Arthur. He's only been in it a couple of months now. It says in the, you know, a couple of months, 2 or 3 months. He's been with us since turn of the year, but actually only actively involved for the last 2 or 3 months. So pray for him and for the work he does and for the new church which he's taken on. You remember this picture, the church within a church, they've been building for years, as they had a bit of money, build a few courses of bricks and up until they get to the roof, and then they had no money at all because the roof was far too expensive. But they were going to knock down the church in the middle, so they did. But there was no roof. And suddenly the church that they had no church to meet because it was a building site. Well, God had different plans. And through a church in Cheltenham who said, we, for last year's harvest, we would like to try and provide some money towards a roof. And we said, well, okay, that's really great and thank you. And the roof's going to cost £23,000. So things are expensive over there too. Well, 6 months later, there's the church on the outside and there's the church on the inside. And it's been rendered now on the inside as well, and the outside will be dealt with. They're using it every single day for some Christian activity, whereas they had nothing before. So Compassion have a project there. FOP have their project. There are all sorts of groups that meet, and every day there's a work for the Lord going on in that place. And that's because we said, well, it's too small, there's no use, and, you know, what should we do? Well, the Lord has great plans for us. Just as we were thinking earlier, he has great plans for our lives. So he has great plans for projects like this. And he provided the resources. And I don't say we didn't pray. We pray very hard about it. But, you know, that's part of our privilege, isn't it? Because it makes us dependent on him. And so I understand there's plans afoot to do something in this church. And it's great to pray about it, to meet together and pray about it, because you realize when God answers your prayer, what a faithful God we have. And people say, well, is it to do with your prayers? Well, in a way it is, but prayers is allowing God to work in and through us for his glory. So we're really thrilled with that. Bit of work still to do, but it's being used. And it's being used for God's glory, and that's what matters. So finally, how can you help? Pray for us, that's what I was saying. It's a faith ministry, and we don't have great capital amounts of money at all, but God has infinite resources. And receive a monthly prayer letter. Yeah, I said we're a four-monthly newsletter. Do you receive a prayer letter here, Grant, or not? We'd love you to have one if you do, but we don't want to throw them at you, but It would be lovely to be able to, maybe we'll have a chat about that. And maybe you can then cascade them to members of the church, whatever. And so it's just topical prayer items we produce on a monthly basis. Our newsletters, either online or by post, become an advocate. Yeah, get interested. Ewan would love to know. He'd love for support. He's looking for support all over Scotland now. Now we're a registered charity in Scotland as well. And or a supporter, or I hate asking for donors, people to give them money, because people are so generous and the Lord provides, but nevertheless that's what we do. Or better still, come and join us in Uganda and see what God is really doing like. And I promise you, I did last time, I promise you again, your life will never be the same after seeing amazing work. So that's FOP up to date. Thank you. I want to thank you for your support, for your prayer, which I know you've been doing anyway since we left. And for those who are supporters, we really value your fellowship in this. Thanks, Grant. Please do come and talk to us afterwards if you have any questions. And we'll do our best to answer those for you.
I think we'll dispense with the final song, and I'm just going to wrap things up with prayer. Thank you, Andrew. Father God, we praise your name for Fountain of Peace and all that are involved in that ministry. We thank you that for they're agents of your grace and of your mercy. And Lord, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. As we leave here, we pray that we would represent you as our Father with all your character and nature by the working of your Holy Spirit. And we just, as we leave here, Lord, we know that you are always with us. You have promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So help us, Lord, to be agents of grace and mercy and of love. And we just now praise your name for all you've given us in Christ. Amen.